Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Whole Foods Market creates win-win partnerships with our suppliers, and we love to tell their stories. New Chocolates in Brooklyn offers delicious and classic combination truffles and caramels, sweet, salty, some even with beer. Using single-origin cocoa beans, production takes place right in their shop on Atlantic Avenue. Come have a taste in one of our six Manhattan locations.
Back with another episode of Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're joined today by Lucas Folger from Vegetarian Entrees That Won't Leave You Hungry, which just came out a couple weeks ago from the Experiment Press. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
Cool. Last we checked in with you about a year ago on this show was when you just came out with a book called Veggie Burgers Every Which Way.
Yes.
That was fun. So now you're like, boom, 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 next book.
Yeah, pretty much. I was, after I finished working on Veggie Burgers, I was anxious to get back in the kitchen and make something else besides Veggie Burgers. And I found, I wanted to just like let myself go, you know, whatever I feel like cooking, that's what I'm going to cook. I don't have to like, you know, when you're writing a cookbook, it's very like regimented that like the Veggie Burgers, I had a calendar and I was like, I got to make this tonight and then this the next morning and then this the next afternoon. And it was really nice just to go, like, I kind of feel like having a frittata or I kind of feel like making pasta. And I went with that and I found that I was like making the same like five things over and over again. So I thought maybe I can explore this like this vegetarian entree thing and maximize all the different options there are. So
this freed your creative juices with vegetarian cooking.
Yes, totally. And it just,
And this is so diverse. This cookbook has, you know, noodles, I see pasta, there's soups, there's paneer, there is, wow, really all sorts of cuisines. You have such a wide range of, like, you know, global cuisines, I remember from the first book and in this book too.
Yeah, that's it really represents how I eat. In New York, it's so easy to like get anything. I mean, we're really lucky here. But I tried to take what I've learned from other cuisines and make it so it's sort of a little bit more accessible if you don't, you know, live here.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole section in the beginning about what to stock your kitchen with, which is very helpful. So tell me, why is it so hard for most Americans, or is it for most Americans, to see vegetables as a main course?
I'm not sure. I mean, one thing I will say is I just got back from promoting the book on the West Coast in Idaho and Oregon and Washington, and then I was down in North Carolina. And I'm like constantly surprised by how many people I did not realize were vegetarians who are vegetarians. It's just like, it's almost like not, it's like such not a big deal anymore. It's people just like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm vegetarian. I don't eat, sometimes I'll eat fish, but I don't eat meat. It's like my aunts or like friends that I hadn't talked to in a little while. And it's just like, I think it's the vegetarian thing is now sort of become a little bit more, let's see, like the diehard component now is more like vegan or like super locavore or raw, or so like the vegetarian is almost like the easy way out or something.
Yeah, it's more mainstream.
But, I mean, I think then when on the other side of that, that people who do have trouble envisioning their plate without any meat on it, it is just like the idea that meat is only a side dish. Mm-hmm. Or there's this like weird misconception that if you are eating like a vegetarian meal at a dinner party, you're gonna have to stop at McDonald's on the way home or something because you're not gonna be full. And I just think that's weird because, like, take something like lasagna, which in America we love lasagna. Like, a vegetarian lasagna is so easy to do, it's delicious, and you really don't miss the meat at all. You're going to be totally full, it'll taste delicious. I you know, it's maybe for a lot of people, vegetarian stuff is not as like far out as they think it might be.
And you're from Idaho, so did you happen to grow up a vegetarian?
No, not at all. I grew up eating like a chicken breast and rice-a-roni and salad and milk. That was, and that is like meat and potatoes territory for sure. I started when I was in college, And then I was, you know, I was a strict vegetarian for 5-6 years, and then sort of when I was working at a restaurant, I started to wane a little bit because, like, the family meal, you have like so few options. You know, if you've worked in a restaurant, it's like you get your one meal, and it's like whatever they feel like cooking.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started to wane a little bit, and now I'm at like a 90-95% vegetarian. I like cook exclusively vegetarian, but if I'm invited to a dinner party or family function, stuff like that, I just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. Is that what kind of got you into cooking, was because there's so few options in restaurants that were something that was even marginally vegetarian or vegetarian friendly?
Well, I think I always liked cooking. I liked cooking with my mom. I had a job at a bakery when I was in high school. I was just like being in the kitchen. But for sure, when I was cooking for myself, like when I was like not living in the dorm anymore, or when I was just out of college, it's so much, as you know, of course, it's so much cheaper to cook for yourself. And then, you know, it's like you have so much more control. You don't have to, especially when you're eating strictly vegetarian, you go to a restaurant, like the only option is like pasta with peas or something. You know, it's like not, it doesn't sound
option.
That good. Yeah. Or the ravioli.
One shot at a dinner. Yeah, I find a lot of friends who are vegetarian have that same frustration. And even in New York, where we have so many, it seems so many options, meat is really still the prevailing meat, and you know.
Yeah, well, there's like a meat thing happening in Brooklyn right now for sure.
Yeah,
it's like I don't and for
do you eat meat now?
Yeah, I'll eat meat. As I was saying, like at if I'm invited to a dinner party or a family function, stuff like that.
Yeah. So let's see. What is one of your favorite recipes?
I love the pad thai in there. Ooh. Is really good, I've always liked pad thai, and I had always ordered in because every time I tried making it myself, it was like this gloppy mess of like a fork and knife job, basically. And I was on YouTube looking up, you know, people will go, I guess, to Thailand, and they have their little cameras, and they're like, you know, it's pad thai is like street food.
Yeah.
And so they have their videos of watching people like make the pad thai. And in one of the videos, I saw this method that was like not, you know, so in a lot of recipes, you soak the noodles in like hot water.
Yeah.
And then you just add them to the pan and like fry them. And that never worked for me. But then in one of these videos, I saw you like heat the like pad thai sauce.
Yes.
In the wok, and then add the dry noodles and just like toss them until they, and add a little bit of water as they cook so that they like, they're super flavorful.
Mm.
And then the texture is perfect. They're all, you know, the noodles don't stick together that much, and they're like totally saturated the flavor. It's so good.
Interesting.
And that pad thai recipe, I figured out how to do it without tamarind paste. And tamarind can be kind of tricky.
That can be hard to find. Yeah. Good for you. It's funny that you can find that now on YouTube. Let's go around the world with cameras.
Seriously, YouTube is an amazing resource.
Just have to not travel.
Yeah.
excuse me. I just came back actually from Asia, and I was talking to a friend of mine about stuff like tofu. And she's Taiwanese, so she's like, you know, it seems like in America there's a stigma attached with tofu, but we just eat it like we love it, all sorts of different which ways.
Does it taste different there, or is it like? I mean, when I think of tofu, it's like the little white plastic cartons
exactly.
And like that. But is that just like a narrow?
Yeah, we're a little deprived. Okay. I mean, basically, it's like cheese. You can't just judge it by one type. So there's so many different ways to process it or flavor it or texturize it and so forth. So it could be like stinky blue cheese. It could be like fresh like mozzarella.
Fermented or, I mean, I guess tofu
just
is. Yeah,
age it. Oh my gosh, they have this crazy stuff called stinky tofu in Taiwan. That's another story.
Wow.
But it's really gross and fermented. I mean, it's not like... It's good, I guess. I don't know. It's stinky.
That's cool.
It's like the stinkiest cheese.
I would love to try it because I'm not the hugest fan of tofu, and there aren't a lot of recipes that call for tofu in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, I mean, that it's still that like plastic white carton. And
well, that's pretty creative of you, because the first thing that maybe a lot of vegetarians think about when it comes to a main course that is vegetarian would be tofu. But
yeah.
Here you really play around with fresh vegetables, which make the book so colorful to look through, which I'm doing right now. Wow, look at that. Black-eyed pea salad with roasted squash and radicchio. But they're all sort of, there's a lentil dish. They're all really plant-based. Was that a goal of yours?
Yeah, that's just how I eat too. I just haven't had delicious tofu or seitan or like I've had some good stuff, but that's never really worked its way into my cooking routines.
Yeah,
I like the farmer's market. I like going. Yeah, I like the farmer's market. I like beans and grains a lot.
Mm-hmm. What was the most challenging part? I mean, I know that you've been cooking with vegetarian food forever, so it seems like second hat. But or second hat. What does that mean? Old hat.
Old hat. Yeah.
I find that a lot of people are trying to do meatless Mondays. I hear this a lot. Like I try to do meatless Mondays, but I run out of ideas. I don't really know what to do. And what would you think is like the most challenging part of avoiding meat?
Get over the hang up that it's challenging. I feel like people stopped just, and like, okay, what do I like to eat? And I used lasagnas, so what's like something else? I mean, I feel like there's a vegetarian option. Like if you just turn the page from what it is that you're like your first impulse
hamburger.
Is to eat.
Oh, hamburger. Veggie burger.
Oh, there's and there are good. I mean, veggie burgers have a little.
Of like 200.
There's a whole book of veggie burgers. Yeah, I wrote it. And there's
hot dog.
You can make veggie hot dogs.
That's true. Bark but even, has one.
Like yeah, sandwiches are great. Like eggs give you so many options. I love making. In fact, I make a frittata like once a week.
Pizza. Oh yeah. That doesn't need meat at all.
Doesn't no. I don't think it needs meat.
Is there any one cuisine that you felt like, oh, there's a pizza recipe right here, yeah. That you felt like you were like kind of leaning towards? When
it's,
they say,
I feel like it's really easy to go to Italian, or that's sort of my. I'm not Italian, but that's
your forte.
Yeah, well, because like pasta and pizza and like frittata are just such easy. Those yeah, that's where I like lean naturally. I took a curry or an Indian cooking class when I was in London for a little. When I was in London for a little while, and that I don't know. Indian spices are really fun to cook with, and I felt like I used a lot of curry and garam masala and stuff like that in this book too.
Nice. I just passed a page with roasted carrots that look like sausages.
Those are really good.
Super caramelized and crisp.
Well, that was something I was figuring out with the book, and I should have put it together before, but it's like, so these carrots, you like chop up the carrots into 2 or 3 inch pieces, and you coat them in some oil and some tomato paste, they're like tomato roasted carrots, and brown sugar, and put them in a really hot oven so that they like burn a little bit, you know, and you get that like astringency, and then you turn it down and let them cook until they're tender. And that's one good trick for vegetarian cooking is like to maximize the flavor of vegetables. Like that high heat makes a big difference.
And it looks convincingly like sausages for you. Very, very crafty of you. So I know you picked a song. I just wanted to...
Yeah, I picked this band that I really have liked for a long time, Sleeping States. It's
right.
This guy named Markland out of, and he lives in London. And this song I think is called I Wonder.
All right, we'll be right back with Lucas Volgar.
Oh,
We're back on Let's Eat In with Lucas Folger, author of the just-released Vegetarian Entrees That Won't Leave You Hungry. Thanks so much for being here again.
Thanks.
Nourishing, flavorful main courses that fill the center of the plate. So have you, like, you just came back from places such as Idaho, your hometown, also the South, did you say? South Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina, Charlotte.
Okay. How do you think it was received out there? I know it probably, like, the vegetarian contingent all came out.
To some extent, sure. Portland and Seattle have, like, thriving vegetarian communities for sure. And so that was awesome. And even just being there myself, I had like one of the best veggie burgers of my life in Seattle, this place called You Need a Burger.
And you need a burger.
It's like U N E E D A.
Clever. So,
yeah. And then, you know, Portland, of course, they're almost like beyond vegetarianism. Like, I had a reading and people got talking about a cow share, and like they were doing like a 15-mile challenge, like only eating food within a 15-mile radius. And it's like, so vegetarianism is like so like yesterday.
Yeah.
Charlotte is kind of interesting because I've had a hard time finding where their vegetarian community is, because it's,
The
South has such food, like, customs, and it's like food is,
barbecue.
I don't know.
How do you do that?
But I met a lot of people and heard that there's like, it's sort of fragmented down there, but it's there. And then, I met a lot of new people and telling me about amazing food in Charlotte.
And I can see this. I mean, obviously it's, you know, intended for all sorts of eaters, not just vegetarian. Do you think that that's a difficult thing to persuade so-called, you know, people who have not subscribed to, perhaps to a vegetarian lifestyle to try to eat more vegetarian food?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a hard argument to refute that we need to eat less meat, just like as a society. And it makes a big difference just to eat like one or two less meals a week. And I feel like that's not actually that much to ask of anybody. So I feel like my book gives people a lot of options for what there should be something that should appeal to you.
Yeah.
If, you know, I keep going back to lasagna, but I'm like, the lasagna is really good. And that's just one of those things where, like, people are like, oh, yeah, I like lasagna. That'll be good. I like that.
So you're not really, like, trying to, like, hardcore convert people, but just, like, you know.
No, I mean, no, I'm not, like, much of a soapbox personality. Recipes. But I'm in it for the food. I really just like vegetables. So, like, that's... yeah, that's where I come from.
Very, very cool. And, you know, this is inspiring. Like, I make a lot of dumplings, but I find that it's hard to... I make vegetarian dumplings, actually, but, you know, it can be difficult. Some things, like, I just can't get away from, like, how classic the meat version is.
Oh,
or, like,
sure. Yeah.
How well it works together, the juices. Like, it just doesn't, like, kind of translate all the time. But I see a recipe or two here that looks awesome. Soba noodles and mushroom ginger broth right here. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that.
You know, the classics like ramen and stuff, like that most, purists would find it very difficult to make without meat are here really, really, you know, completely beautifully translated.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, and if you don't eat, I mean, I don't eat a lot of meat, so like, if I tasted a traditional ramen, like with the, what is it, a beef or veal broth or
pork broth,
yeah, it would probably be like a shock to my palate. but it is a different thing. It's sort of like what I would say about the veggie burgers. It's like you have to go into it not necessarily expecting it to taste like a hamburger. That's like respect it as its own thing.
Yeah,
and sometimes with vegetarian, especially with like vegetarian versions of meat dishes, it'd almost be easier just to not call it, not refer to it as like, this is the meatless version of this. It's like meatless version of steak. And it's like, well, don't do that. It's not, you know, steak is steak and this is what it is. So
yeah, maybe we should just give it a separate category of its own and not compare all the time.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely. I see that. So did you find that you spend a lot less money now that you're a vegetarian than, well, I guess you have been since college.
Yeah, I haven't bought meat in a really long time for... But, yeah.
And I know you're a member of CSAs.
I am.
Because we have...
Local Roots CSA.
Yeah. Bumped elbows there a few times.
I find that I spend most of my money on like dairy and cheese, which shouldn't be surprising.
How much do you think you spend in a week, typical week of just cooking?
Oh God, I probably like purposefully do not think about it. I belong to CSA, and that I can't remember what the weekly breakdown, but it was something like $14 or $16 a week, and I get some vegetables there, and then I go to the farmer's market every Saturday and probably spend $20 or $25. I get my milk and eggs and cheese, and that's like another $10-$15. So I mean, and then I'm sure that there's like I'll go out to eat with my friends or something. Maybe $150-$100, something like that. Am I showing my terrible math skills right now?
No problem. Yeah, I'm shooting myself in the foot because people have asked me that many times. But it's definitely modest. I mean, looking through the recipes, I can tell like kale and spaghetti with chickpeas. It doesn't get much, you know, easier on your budget than that. So it's another incentive right there.
Yeah.
The photographs... I see. Are you a photographer as well? Or?
I'm trying to learn. Yeah. I don't have the background at all. I just, 2 years ago, so I got like a fancy camera, but mistakenly didn't get the SLR. SLR. But it still takes pretty pictures. It's like a glorified point and shoot.
Gotcha.
But I'm working on it.
Yeah. So, but you made all the dishes. Like those are your hands in the photos.
Yeah. I styled everything.
Totally DIY.
Everything.
Very nice job.
Thank you.
And I know you have an event coming up. Any other, like you have a dinner event next week.
Yeah, for the book, I wanted to do some kind of like giveaway thing. And last year, people had to write veggie burger haikus. And this year, I decided to host a dinner party.
Wait,
at my
house. A veggie burger haiku?
I wish I could pull it up on my phone. I just put it on my blog. It's like I'm giving away 3 copies of the book to the best veggie burger haikus.
And I like this burger. It tastes good in my stomach.
Yeah.
Let's eat more of them.
Hey,
there we go.
That's a contender right there. Somebody wrote one about like the texture. They refer to the texture as like hardened risotto. that's like very creative.
That?
I don't, yeah. But that's risotto. So that's 5. So there, that's like a whole line. But this year I wanted to have a dinner party at my house, just invite people over. And
just invite like random fans that sign up?
I actually met the founder of this website. It's called Edizens. And the best way to explain it is like couch surfing, but for dinner parties.
All right.
So you set up a profile on Edizens, and then you can host a dinner party, and any other members, you can open it up to anybody.
Oh, okay.
And they can come, or you can search other parties and you can RSVP, and it's like that kind of thing.
All right.
So I hosted the dinner party. That smells really good.
Yeah.
I hosted the dinner party through Edizens and just selected the winners. And we're having it this weekend.
You selected the winners?
Yeah, randomly.
Oh, okay. So a million people signed up.
Yeah, I got a bunch of RSVPs, and then I like drew the names from a hat.
Oh, okay. So it's a nice, cozy... How many people?
It'll be 8 people.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, cool.
in my little studio apartment.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We should have another one and then another.
Yeah,
maybe
I guess.
I can go.
It'd be fun to do a pop-up restaurant somewhere.
Absolutely. What are some of your favorite vegetarian restaurants in the city? Or if you
in
have
the city,
any?
My favorite vegetarian meals, like Buttermilk Channel, they have a vegetarian menu if you ask for it. Yeah, and
no
it's
way.
Awesome food. It's really, really good.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, every restaurant should do that, because I think they probably just like repurpose other, you know, it's not all that much extra work, but they repurpose the stuff they've already made and turn that into vegetarian dishes.
Cool.
And it's really good. They're super talented there. Let's see. I am a sucker for like when I go out to eat, I just know exactly what I want, and so I'll go to the same, you know, I can not be super creative when I'm going
when you're
to
going
eat.
Out to eat,
yeah,
because you're so creative in the kitchen.
Well,
otherwise,
yeah, sure. I think so. I like Bar Toto a lot. I used to live near it, and then now I don't live near it, but it's in Park Slope. And
is it a veggie only?
It's not veggie only, and nor is Buttermilk Channel.
Ooh, these are good discoveries.
But I mean, I tend to favor the. Dirt Candy, of course, is an amazing veggie only restaurant.
Yeah,
that's in the East
only
Village.
One I know of.
And yeah.
Cool. All right, so Lucas, what is your ultimate date meal? This year, as opposed to last year.
I actually didn't think about this. Well, I think always I feel a lot more strongly.
Where are we? With candles or no?
Last year I think I said.
I can't remember. A burger.
Ravioli.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's important to do something that where you really excel, like no matter how complicated it is. Mm. So like, I don't know, people have had me over for dinner or, you know, I've done this before. You like get caught up wanting to impress people. So you like choose a menu from Savour or whatever. And then it's just a nightmare because you're overwhelmed and your kitchen's a mess and nothing is really turning out the
way
you
want. Damn it, Savour.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I think it can be really nice just to make like a delicious omelet and salad and bread and
great like crisp
wine or something easy. I enjoy that kind of a meal.
I think a lot of people like breakfast for a date meal. Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Very cool. I'll have to try that sometime. I actually have that romantic meal for myself.
Yeah, I do too. But that means we're really good at cooking it, so there's like no doubt that it'll be.
And do you have an omelet in here?
Yeah, there's a couple omelets in there. There's one. The one I was thinking of is an omelet with goat cheese and onion marmalade.
Onion marmalade, nice. All right. So if you have to have like five essentials in order to cook really good vegetarian entrees pretty regularly, what would you say?
I'd say stock up on your dry spices.
Any ones in particular?
Well, I love like cumin seed, like the whole cumin. I mean,
Toast it and then crush it.
I don't even crush it really. I like heat the oil and then throw them in the oil so they like flavor the oil and
so they pop give a in little your mouth.
Bit. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I love cumin seeds and let's see, beans and grains. Of course, like I have been cooking with bulgur a lot lately.
I like that. Yeah,
it's a quick cooking grain, sort of like quinoa. It takes like 15 minutes, and that I prefer something like that to like wheat berries, which can take like 3 hours if you're not lucky. Let's see, eggs. I always have eggs on hand. I know that that doesn't fall into the like vegan diet, but and then okay. So if you have eggs, you have beans and grains, you have cumin seeds.
Yeah, one more.
One more. Let's see. And then
love.
Yeah, love, passion, zest for culinary life.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on air again. And you can always check out lucasvulgar.com to see more about this book and where to get it. As well as the veggie burgers every which way.
Yeah, and a bunch. I'm always putting recipes up on the
website. Your next veggie book?
I don't know yet. I'm still throwing around a couple ideas.
Veggie spaghetti, because it rhymes?
That would be cool. Yeah. Veggie spaghetti. I could do a children's book. That sounds fun.
Can you draw?
No, but I can find somebody who can.
Just draw with spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just cute. Use the... Yeah. It'll be an animated feature on the website.
iPad.
I'm writing your book for you next. Can it be soba spaghetti too?
Soba spaghetti.
It's healthier for you.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. We'll brainstorm this more. But we're out of time for today. Check out lucasvulgar.com. We'll see you next week. Thanks to everyone at Heritage. I'm your host, Kathy Airway. Have a good one.
Stand tall, you know a man can't crawl when he knows he's telling lies and he hears them passing by. He's not a man at all.
The following is a public service announcement from Food Karma. To kick off the New York City Meat Week in style, Meat with a Twist will bring together the best chefs and mixologists for a cocktail food pairing party on November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Meat with a Twist features 10 cocktails paired with 10 chef selections highlighting local, sustainably grown meat such as duck, lamb, chicken, pork, beef, bison, and ostrich. The party will launch a week's worth of events throughout the city that celebrate the slow food movement bringing sustainable meats to our tables. Again, that's November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Updates, tickets, and more information are available at meatweeknyc.com.